Here we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
That's gonna be cool.
I mean, after all, you're nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening? Hot stuff.
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And welcome, everyone, to the Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave in St. David's, just outside of Niagara Falls. John Poulter is in Scarborough, right outside of Toronto. And Steve Leventhal, he's in Lake Bluff, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. He's going to come on talk NFL football with us shortly. John and I will discuss the World Series here in just a bit. But I wanted to start with the big Packer win against the Houston Texans. Green Bay now moves to 5-1. And let's hear from the excited coach of the Packers. Go ahead. Roll the tape.
Disappointing division loss. I've stood in front of this camera too many times this year and spoke about the basics that we just haven't put together yet. The turnovers. Obviously, they impacted the first
that's
half.
That's not Matt LaFleur.
The field position, and we didn't handle the.
You know that sounds.
The points after the turnovers.
That sounds like our old
really,
coach.
Really didn't get what the run game going.
Hey, this is tape from Dallas, isn't it?
And then with that, they ran the ball too well against us. So. Not a very,
well, Dallas is 2-5, and Mike McCarthy's heading up the ship there for now. Stop the tape. Sorry about that. We'll get to Packer stuff later in the program. I just think it's funny. Matt LaFleur is 18-4 as head coach of the Packers since joining the team last year. Mike McCarthy in his first 7 games, 2-5, not looking good down there in Dallas. Like I said, if he was anywhere else, I wouldn't care. It wouldn't matter to me. I'd root for him. But he coaches for Dallas. He sounded pretty despondent in that tape. Let's bring in John Poulter. And John, the Packers get a good win, but the World Series is the championship thing going on right now. So let's touch on what is going on, the Rays and the Dodgers.
Well, it's become a pretty exciting series, Dave. When we first looked at this, we thought these two teams were very equal, which clearly they were. Both teams had the best record in their respective leagues, the Dodgers in the National League, the Rays in the American League, and so far they've alternated wins. It's been a pretty exciting series, and it looked to me like when the Dodgers were up 2-1 going into Game 4, playing Game 4 on Saturday, the Dodgers were kind of in control. Every time they looked like they were going to hang in there, it just went the other way. And Tampa Bay just hung right in there, came back, and perhaps one of the most bizarre endings to a ball game I've ever seen.
Game 4 was a lot of fun to watch. I mean, you watch a lot more baseball than I do, but I can't think of having more fun watching a game since Game 7 of 2001 World Series, Diamondbacks and Yankees.
Yeah, it's an interesting comparison. I said to somebody else on Sunday that I was watching the game in my family room at home, and while I did have the whole chair, quite frankly, all I needed was the edge of the seat because I sat for the whole game with my butt sitting at the edge of the seat. The momentum swings in that Game 4 were just unbelievable. Dodgers up 2-0 early. You thought they were going to have a chance to go up 3-1. The Rays came back. Then the Dodgers came back. I think there were 7 or 8 consecutive half innings where one team scored a run or more than one run. And the Dodgers briefly behind on a Brandon Lau home run. Then they came back the very next half inning, went ahead again, and we went to the bottom of the ninth with the Dodgers bringing out their supposed closer in Kenley Jansen, who, as you know from our previous chats, I've had some concerns about his performance over the last couple of months. A little shaky, a couple of bloop hits, but frankly the key was the walk to a Rosarena. That's clearly on him. That's not on any of his teammates. And that was the guy that ended up scoring the winning run. And how many times in a ball game do we see a walk result in a key run, or in this case, a winning run. But that last half inning, Rays need two to win the game, one to tie it. They had the one to tie it, and then that bizarre play to end the game, basically two errors on the same play. Chris Taylor bobbles the ball in the outfield. That gives the base runners a chance to advance. Then he throws it to Muncy at first base. Muncy has a play at the plate, but he throws the ball to the right side, or to the wrong side, actually, to the first base side. The catcher, Smith, has no concept of where the runner, Arozarena, is because he doesn't know that he's fallen down. He tries to take the ball and swipe tag, thinking that's the only play that he has at him. In retrospect, he could have taken his time and just stood there because Arozarena had fallen down. Basically, Muncy threw the ball to the wrong side of the plate. If he throws that ball up the third base side, not only is it on the catcher's glove side, it's also in a spot where he can see the base runner. It's a tie game. We go to an extra inning. Who knows what happens? But just a bizarre ending. In a lot of respects, it's the kind of thing you would see in a little league game, guys throwing the ball around and not really knowing where to go with the play. And quite frankly, for major leaguers to make mistakes like that in key situations is unacceptable. I mean, you know, they work on this kind of thing all spring training, and here we are in late October and they can't get it right.
John Polder in Toronto on the Sports Report. And so looking towards game six, John, Dodgers are up 3-2, and we've got some folks to hear from here.
Yeah, Dave Roberts' press conference yesterday with respect to game six, and I think we have a clip from Mr. Roberts.
Obviously, I mean, it's not do or die, but I think that just the mindset is we're going to do everything we can to win game six, knowing that we have Walker starting game seven. And I'm kind of just taking today as an off day. And then as the day goes on, I'll start thinking about game six. And that's really all I'm thinking about. But, you know, realistically, it would obviously mean a lot, but I hope we're having this conversation tomorrow night.
All the things that you would expect a manager to say before a key game, I guess there's no surprises there. These guys are programmed. Clearly, he wants to win it tonight. You know, nobody wants to go to a game seven, but he does have a rookie going for him tonight. He's saving Walker Buehler, his best pitcher postseason, I guess if you want to discount Kershaw. Buehler's probably right up there with Kershaw in terms of what he's done for this team in the postseason. And we have another clip from Tony Gonsolin, tonight's starting pitcher.
Try not to put more pressure on myself than there already is. You know, I try to go out there and throw the ball the best of my ability, and, you know, nothing changes tomorrow.
So what are you expecting to happen tonight? If you were to say what you thought might be some keys to this game, what would you say?
Well, I think a lot of key is going to be how much the Dodgers get out of Gonsolin and how much they have to go into that bullpen. If you're Dave Roberts, you've got that safety net of Game 7. Obviously, you don't want to use that unless you absolutely have to. And he doesn't want to burn out his top guys in the bullpen in case he needs them tomorrow night in a tight game or perhaps even an extra inning game. So he needs to minimize the use of the bullpen, but that, of course, is triggered by how well his starter goes. So I think Gonsolin's on a pretty short leash, quite frankly. I think he maybe goes three innings, and then we start seeing this parade of guys from the bullpen. Secret for the Dodgers is to get out on top. Secret for the Rays is to take some long counts, try and force the Dodgers into using their bullpen, because the Rays do have an established starter in Blake Snell going, so they would expect to get six, seven, maybe eight innings out of him. Tonight, the pitching advantage at the start appears to be with the Rays. It all depends on how those first two or three innings go, in my opinion.
John Polter in Toronto on Game 6 tonight, the World Series, the Rays and the Dodgers, and everybody's looking forward to that. We'll talk NFL on the program when we return here on the Sports Report.
Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
Internet FM is bringing the car radio into your mobile phone. The Internet FM app features a clean, easy-to-use interface with no ads and no clutter. There's no need to sort through thousands of radio stations to find what you want to listen to. Internet FM is a hand-curated app with dozens of the best streaming radio stations on the planet. 20 rock stations, plus blues, jazz, jam band, indie rock, and more. Available now for Android and iPhones. Download it today. Search for Internet FM, all in one word. That's Internet FM.
Hi, everybody. This is Pat Hughes, radio voice of the Chicago Cubs, and I would like to invite you to check out Baseball Voices, the Hall of Fame series. These commemorative audio tributes celebrate the greatest baseball announcers of all time. Harry Carey, Jack Buck, Bob Uecker, Harry Callis, Marty Brenneman, Red Barber, Milo Hamilton, and Dave Niehaus. These CDs are a collection of highlights, history, humorous stories, and Hall of Fame speeches. Available now at BaseballVoices.com. That's BaseballVoices.com.
Hi there, this is Chris Berman from ESPN. Hey, Packer Dave, I know you know about the frozen tundra, but about the rest of football, do a little boning up, eh?
I've been boning up, and when it comes to the rest of football, the Arizona Cardinals look pretty darn exciting. Packer Dave here, John Poulter in Toronto. John, I don't know if you're able to catch any of that Arizona-Seattle game on Sunday night. Maybe not.
No, I was watching the World Series game.
That's your job.
Exactly.
I was testing you, John. All right, I watched the football game, and let me tell you, that was as entertaining as Game 4 was in the World Series. That game going the distance, and Arizona just coming back and coming back, and Kyler Murray. You know, Kyler Murray is the 11th leading rusher now in the NFL with 437 yards, and he leads on average yards per carry at 6.7. Second year in the league. I think the Cardinals are going some places. They've beaten San Francisco with Jimmy Garoppolo. They've beaten now Seattle with Russell Wilson. And that's not easy to do. Russell Wilson, couple boneheaded throws in that game. He had a few interceptions. And kind of like the one in the Super Bowl a few years ago with New England, sometimes you don't want to throw those balls. And I think trying to make plays, he does. But he's still so good. Leads the league in quarterback rating, 119.5. Aaron Rodgers right next at 113.4. So a couple of good quarterbacks there. And, John, overall in the NFL, the Bears really take a dive. They only scored 10 points last night. After pulling Mitch Trubisky, they've got Nick Foles in there right now. What do you do if you're a team that has these two quarterbacks and sometimes they're working, sometimes they're not? Trubisky was in the Pro Bowl in 2018.
Yeah, it's hard to figure. I mean, we all know that quarterbacking is such a big part of football in the NFL and, well, football anywhere, in fact. But, you know, do these guys play on a competitive basis, or do these guys play worried that if they make one mistake, they're out of the game because there's another guy to come in? I mean, there's a very fine line between competition and running scared, and I have to wonder which one of these categories this team fits into. I don't really know who is the right guy or the wrong guy here, but quite frankly, what we really need to see is one guy step up, take control, and establish himself as a number one quarterback, and the coaching staff sit back and say, well, we know that we've got a pretty good second stringer if we really need one. But right now I think they're both running scared from the bits that I've seen.
I hear you. Okay, let's bring in Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting in Chicago. He covers the Bears on a consistent basis as a beat reporter for the Bears. And Steve, the Bears really lay an egg last night on Monday Night Football. We'll get to the Packers and Texans here in a minute. But just your overall impressions on the Bears laying a big one.
Well, you also said they scored 10 points. Remember, the defense scored 7 points. Eddie Jackson had the fumble recovery for a touchdown. The Bears got some real problems. And, you know, I'm sure you noticed that when Nick Foles tried to throw deep, he was wildly inaccurate. So they've got a really real problem. And also it goes to show why Nick Foles is a journeyman quarterback and hasn't really stuck with somebody for any length of time. He's okay, but he's not a Kyler Murray. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not even a Ben Roethlisberger-type quarterback. Bears got a real problem on their hands. They've built a great defense, and their offense just stinks.
Well, hopefully they can get it together. He had some magic in that Super Bowl year for the Eagles. Hopefully he can reignite. And Steve has some audio from the Bears. First, let's touch on Green Bay. Davante Adams having another monster game, 35-20 win against the Texans. Two touchdowns, 196 yards, and 13 receptions. And game one against the Vikings this year, he had 14 receptions, tying a Packer record with Don Hutson, two touchdowns, 156 yards versus the Vikings in a 43-24 win there. He has only played four games this year, but he was on fire, and so you have to give him credit. Aaron Rodgers, four touchdowns, no interceptions in this game. And they played in Texas. There was a limited crowd there, but those people in the crowd, a lot of them were Packer fans. Let's hear from Aaron Rodgers, quarterback for the Packers.
You know, hearing the Go Pack Go chants, it was like a, you know, a normal game almost, where, you know, you're up a few scores on a team late in the game and a lot of the home fans have left, and it's just our Packer fans, you know, yelling out Go Pack Go. It's a thing that I don't take for granted, and I enjoy and have enjoyed for over a decade, and just love hearing it, love walking off the field in a road game with our fans in the stands. It's just something that I'll never forget.
Let's hope Aaron Rodgers gets a Super Bowl. He's getting long in the tooth. We need a Super Bowl out of him. Get the second one. Favre never did it. He could. So Green Bay gets that win against the Texans. They are 5-1. Houston falls to 1-6. And I don't know what they're going to do there. Deshaun Watson's good. They don't have much else on offense, the way it looked to me the other day. David Johnson's turned out to be a bust. The trade from Arizona, only 42 yards in that game. And receiving-wise, Randall Cobb, former Packer, did all right. You know, he had eight receptions, 95 yards, but it didn't do anything for him, and the Texans can fall to 1-6. Okay, Steve, let's look at the Bears now, and where do they go from here, really?
I'm not really sure where the Bears go from here, because they've got a lot of problems. You know, I guess we could listen to the Nick Foles clip, because they asked him about that. And they all try to have this one game at a time mentality. So let's hear what Nick Foles had to say about that.
Throughout the season, you know, at times we've been able to make plays to help our team to put us in position to either come back in games or win games. Tonight was not one of those examples. We didn't play well. Offensively, and it's tough. It's you know, you go out there and you prepare all week. You want to go out there and you give it your all. And you know, the Rams did a nice job on us tonight. They did a really nice job. They played fast on defense and, you know, disrupted us. But in the grand scheme of things, this is one game, and you know, it's been a crazy season. And obviously, we've talked about this a lot. And my mindset is, continue to look at it, continue to have these conversations, continue to work through this, because the season does continue on. It doesn't stop right now. It's never easy. It really tests you as a player, as a person, because it's not easy. You come to your locker, you hurt for your teammates, you hurt that you weren't able to make enough plays, that we lost, but ultimately it does, you know, allow you to grow, because it ultimately sucks, but you have to learn how to get through it. So that's the stage we're at as a team. We've been fortunate to come out back in some games, and you know, this was not one of them.
Coach Nagy, you know, he's kind of in trouble because he doesn't have the answers, and basically all he did was give credit to Los Angeles for playing a good defensive game.
I don't ever remember having our own defense score more than our offense. That's hard to do. So that part I don't like, and that bothers me. The second part is, and one thing that I want to do, and I didn't do on the front end, is I don't want to take, I want to give credit to the Rams and to Sean McVay and his coaching staff and their team. You know, you got to give credit to them. They're well coached. They play hard. They're a good football team. And so I don't want to take anything away from that as well. I wish we were coaching and playing a little bit better than we did tonight.
All right, John. There's another one, just the coach or the guy, the interview. I'm just here to do my best for the team. I'm going to try harder next week. I give credit to the opponent. Sometimes it's hard to find a good clip, John.
Well, it is. And, you know, I'm sitting here listening to that, and I'm just thinking when we go back to the Roberts clip and to the to the other clip we played from the Dodgers. And have we just exposed these guys way too much? Are we sticking a microphone in front of them just because we think they should have something to say, because we expect them to have something to say? Would we be better off just maybe to let this thing ride? I mean, and when I talk about we, I mean the public in general, the media in general. You know, these guys are programmed to say all the right things, you know, one game at a time. It's a team game. No one man wins. No one man loses. It's getting very tiresome, you know, and to your point, and to Steve's point, you know, the Rams obviously played better than the Bears did. That's why the score was the way that it was. You know, give the public credit for some intelligence in knowing that the better team played better and the better team won.
I search out clips. That's why I played the McCarthy, the very early part of this show. I was searching for clips yesterday, and I'm saying to my wife, Jane, who's sitting there, you know, there's nothing interesting here at all to play. And she says, why don't you play McCarthy? That should be interesting. And I was like, yes, that makes sense. That was interesting. See, that's fun. I went through 10 minutes of LaFleur, 15 minutes of LaFleur. Couldn't find and Davante Adams too. It was just got it to my teammates really stepped up, and you know I want to hear him say, "I'm a superstar on fire. Nobody can stop me. The rest of the league, you're all also right. Come on, bring some pizzazz to it. You're the coach of the Packers. I want to hear you say, "Hey, I'm 18-4. What do you think of that, everybody? Are Rodgers and I getting along now?" You know, that kind of thing. Have some fun with it. But they're just sitting there. They're dead. And I know that they're on, you know, teleconference, so it's not as easy as being in person. Yeah, Steve.
Like you said, Dave, you know, there's just nothing to talk about. And the media is controlled, of course, by the team. So they're somewhat limited. And just, yeah, the answers are just totally vanilla. You know, the Bears were talking about Foles not having time to execute, lacking consistency. It wasn't our night. I mean, yada, 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 yada. Yeah. The highlight of that game was about in the first 2-3 minutes of the game was a long pass to Cole Kmet, who's a rookie tight end who's trying to break through and have a role on the team.
Okay, Steve Leventhal in Chicago, John Poulter in Toronto. I'm Packer Dave in St. David's, next to Niagara Falls. I see the Niagara Falls sign right outside the studio window here. Let's look at the rest of the National Football League. And this week was filled with exciting games. We talked about the Arizona-Seattle game on Sunday night, which was a barn burner. But Detroit, Matthew Stafford brings his team back with just a few seconds left, scores a touchdown. The extra point puts him over the top, 23-22 against Atlanta. Todd Gurley tried to stop when Atlanta scored at the one-yard line so that the clock would keep running, but the ball edged past the goal line, leaving, I think it was like 40 seconds or so, 35, 40 seconds for Stafford, and he did it. He is a good quarterback. And Detroit now at 3-3. So they're at 500. Atlanta loses another one in tough fashion. Pittsburgh, Tennessee was a tough game. And a Steven Gostkowski miss at the end of the game. It was an easy one, too. Gives the win to Pittsburgh. Dallas was embarrassed by Washington, as you heard Coach McCarthy talk about early in the show. We want to thank him for coming on. 25-3. Cleveland gets a last minute pass from Baker Mayfield and defeats Cincinnati. That was a touchdown pass as time was expiring. 37-34. Another close game. Tampa Bay wins big over the Raiders. New England is embarrassed by San Francisco, 33-6. The Chargers, Justin Herbert, John. Justin Herbert. They can't see a thumbs up on radio, John. So you why don't you give some background on this?
Well, that's an interesting story. A few weeks ago when we first talked about the Seattle game, I think they were playing Seattle at the time. Anyway, the Chargers quarterback, a gentleman by the name of Justin Herbert, Dave inadvertently referred to him as Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert. Yeah, that's right. Look, it's Stephen Colbert, right? It's not Stephen Colbert.
Well, you know, Dave, this is you'll appreciate this. This is an interesting story. A former curling friend of mine, a gentleman by the name of Don Landry, used to be the morning man at the Fan in Toronto. When the Packers first got a quarterback from Atlanta, he interviewed him and he asked him why his name wasn't Favre.
Right.
So we all make those mistakes. And Don Don's a very good broadcaster and a great guy. And, you know, we all make those mistakes.
When he was drafted, they came out and said, the Atlanta Falcons select Brett Favre. Come on. See, we do our homework on this show, except that one time with Justin Herbert, A-Bear, whatever his name is. KC over Denver, big. And, of course, last night the Bears get trounced by the Rams. So a lot of fun action in the NFL. Looking forward to week 8 coming up. We're already getting almost to the halfway mark here in the NFL season. And there are now 7 playoff teams in each conference. Only one team gets a bye. Everybody else has to play. It's watered down, but it's more money for them. That's why they do it. Okay, guys. And then anybody else on football? Steve, any last thoughts?
No, I thought we were going to move over to soccer.
Yeah, it's been bizarre. I guess it's like everything else in 2020. It's not what we expected. You know, if you told me that Everton would be the last team to lose a game, I'd be starting to wonder what you were putting on your cereal in the morning. If you told me that Manchester United, after 5 games, had given up 3 more goals than they had scored, I'd be asking you the same question. If you told me that Aston Villa, a team that barely stayed up in the Premier League last year, was going to be sitting in third place, and not only sitting in third place, 1 point behind Everton and Liverpool, with a game in hand on both teams. So, you know, if Aston Villa were to win that game in hand, they'd be in first place. Who would have thought that? But, you know, there are some things that have been much the same as usual. And I guess the one thing that sort of sticks out in my mind as being much the same as usual is that every year when there's 3 teams come up from the Championship to the Premier League, those 3 teams fall into 3 categories. There's, for one team, it goes bad right off the bat and they end up going down that year. This year, that looks like Fulham. There's one team that borders on relegation all year long and sometimes stays up and sometimes stays down or goes down. This year, that team is West Bromwich Albion. And then there's another team that comes up that just comes out of nowhere and finds himself middle of the table, close to the top of the table, outperforming everybody's expectations. And this year, that team is Leeds United. So that's maybe the one thing in the Premier League that has been the norm this year. I got to tell you that one thing that's really starting to frustrate me is these constant penalty calls on these accidental handballs. That's a rule that has to be looked at. It's getting out of hand. It's ruining a lot of games.
And I know you mentioned Leeds. I guess one of their trademarks is they are just an attack team on offense.
Very much so. You know, but the funny thing is we say that, and usually that comes with a price, and that price is giving up goals. You know, those are the types of teams that often win games 5-3, 4-2. But you look at the standings after 6 games, and they've only given up 3 goals. So they're doing it at both ends of the field. Whether they can do it all season, another question. I suspect they will come back to the pack. I suspect Aston Villa will come back to the pack. Liverpool's an interesting story. They're right where you'd sort of expect them to be, but they've lost Van Dijk, and that could be a big loss for them.
That sounds great. Looking forward to lots of soccer. I don't know if the short, you know, time off is going to make any difference, but it's always fun to watch. I just keep enjoying soccer more and more and more.
I was just going to say, you know, we're seeing the backup with the Champions League, and this is all going to come down to the depth of rosters because of the number of fixtures that are being played.
Well, you've been listening to the Sports Report. He's John Poulter in Toronto, Steve Leventhal in Chicago. Remember, if you'd like to get the show, you can check it out each week, kwwradio.com and at SRN Broadcasting. Check them out, SRN Broadcast. So, for Steve Leventhal in Chicago, for John Poulter in Toronto, I'm Packer Dave, just outside of Niagara Falls in St. David, saying thank you for listening. Have a good one. Take care. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Get the bear scumbag!
Goodbye.
Tell you what, dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless. I ought to club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now you ladies carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Now it's over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Let's get out of here.